रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीतायाः पतये नमः. अरण्यकांड चैप्टर नंबर 19. खरा राउज्ड टू फ्यूरी. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. The sight of his sister rolling upon the ground in terrible agony amidst an ever-growing pool of blood from her mutilated ears and nose roused Khara to an ungovernable fury, and he cried, "Arise and calm yourself. Who is it that has dared to torture you thus? Let me have it in clear detail. Who is a fool that jabbed with his little finger at a black cobra, all ignorant of its dread power, as it lay before him, innocent to all appearance, his terrible fangs all invisible? Who is the fool that fits to his neck the noose of death, all unwitting of the awful fate that will befall him the next moment? Who is a miserable creature that has so grievously injured you and has quaffed a full cup of Kalakuta, the deadliest of all poisons, mistaking it for the elixir of life? Your strength and might, they defy thought, able to course at will through the worlds above and below, naturally endowed with the power to change your shape and form with the speed of thought. Awful as Yama, the lord of death, I wonder who it could be that has dared to insult you thus. I would give anything to have the sight of that mighty hero who has deliberately set himself to mutilate you, so be he among the Devas, the Gandharvas, or the powerful Rishis. I know none in all the three worlds but Indra of the thousand eyes that would dare to displease me. My arrow shall even drink his lifeblood like the swan separating the milk it wants from the water. My shafts shall pierce his vital parts in battle and rob him of his life, while the thirsty earth shall drink his foaming blood. Whose flesh are the hungry vultures going to feast upon as he falls before my arrows? Once that he stands before me in fight, who can ward off his fate from the unfortunate victim? Not even the Devatas, Gandharvas, Pishachas, or Rakshasas. I wonder who that wicked person might be who had the audacity to insult and injure you thus, and that within the confines of my kingdom? Calm yourself a bit and give me the details." Shurpanakha heard him out as Khara roared in tones of dread wrath, and with fast falling tears spake back in reply. "In the prime of youth they are of about the same age, they differ not in form or feature. Their beauty defies description. But youth does not always go along with beauty. Now these are not so. The very god of love is but a beggar at their doors. Most wonderful, their loveliness will last through life. But youth and beauty do not always go hand in hand with softness and delicacy of limb. Now fie upon your bodies, hard as yon cruel rocks. Ah, their limbs, soft as the most delicate of flowers just blown. My heart swoons to think of the exquisite joy that thrilled through me as Lakshmana touched me with his hands when he deprived me of my ears and nose. I would gladly be cut to pieces and welcome it as the greatest joy if but he lays his hands upon me once again. Infer not from this that they are weaklings, unable to satisfy the heart of the woman who seeks his embraces. Strong beyond compare they are, and mighty. As a rule, general beauty of form is not always allied to symmetry and grace. But hear me while I describe to you somewhat the enchanting loveliness of their eyes. Blood and fire do aptly compare with your hideous eyes. But neither the heavy stupor that betokens the tamoguna, nor the fiery red that indicates the rajoguna, dare associate itself with their large and lustrous eyes that put to shame the petals of the white lotus and index the utter sattvaguna, or spotless purity that fills their hearts. Yet be their beauty, The very dress of bark and deerskin that lie upon their body takes a new beauty unto itself in consequence. They feed on roots and fruits, and God, like hermits, play of dharma with restrained senses. They give it out that they are Rama and Lakshmana, the sons of King Dashrata, but more like the lords of Gandharvas are they. So inconceivable is their valor and might, yet they bear about them plainly the marks of high royalty. So I am at a loss to make them out, mortals or gods. Here a wave of anxiety filled her heart as she said to herself, what if my words fill him with dread and fear, and he shrinks from seeking them in battle? So she gave them a different meaning and said, boys they are, strangers to arms and battles. The sports and pleasures suited to their age engross their attention quiet. Beautiful they are, their only assets that steal away the hearts of foolish girls, but never mistake them for valiant warriors. Princes they are, who have been brought up in enervating luxury and slothful ease, unused to pain and danger. The grim battle array would make them take to their heels. Matchless warriors, of a truth, the very sight of your forces and yourself would drive them into hiding with the speed of thought. Pale-eyed with fear, they are tortured with the apprehension of the terrible fate which hangs over them in retribution for what they have done to me. Have you any idea of their warlike prowess now, at least? Too poor and wretched to afford even a piece of cloth to cover their nakedness, they resort to deerskin and dress of bark. They are indebted to the charity of the tree and the deer. Even then they have not another piece of cloth to cover their upper limbs. They are driven by starvation to feed upon fruits and roots like the beasts of the forests. Verily they are foemen worthy of your steel that batten on human flesh. Dry and shriveled they are, with every organ of sense and action dead and torpid. Hermits they are, weak and impotent, that you kill by hundreds in sheer sport. They are bound in slaves to what they call dharma, not in the least like you who own no other lord by yourself. Sons of Dasharatha they are, that very Dasharatha who used to swoon away at the mention of a Rakshasa. Brothers they are, their supreme love towards one another is a sure guarantee that you have but to kill one to kill the other. Rama and Lakshmana are they called. Lo, your names that speak out your manly virtues of valor, prowess, might, strength, courage, skill and fame. Is it not patent that their names but proclaim them as profound cheats that gall the weak with the witching glamour of the beauty? Handsome of form like the kings of the Gandharvas, they have nothing in the world that they could call their own but their beauty, song and dance. They bear the marks of royalty upon their persons, true, but it goes no further. No wealth, strength or power or forces that adorn a king. Gods they might be or mortals, but either tremble at your name. Now she was seized with another anxious doubt that if she degraded them too far, her brother might think it was beneath his dignity to fight them. So she gave her words another meaning and said, in the flower of youth they are, a time when they are endowed and full with energy and courage that ensure success. Beautiful they are, let be a battle with them. The hearts of their enemies turn into water at the mere sight of their powerful arms, stout and strong as the trunk of elephants and reaching below the knees, their broad and leonine chests and their slender waists. Of flower-soft limbs, they consume their foes in mere sport without troubling themselves overmuch. They never lack in strength of body, power of intellect, or fertility of resource. With calm eyes and steady, they are never overtaken by fear at the sight of their enemy. Their loins are ever girt with a dress of bark, ready for fight. Their diet is spare and pure, such as conduce to give strength and hardiness to the body, and peace and calm to the soul. Love and hate are never engendered by it. Body, senses and mind are under perfect control, the powers ready to be concentrated on any object they might seek to achieve. Hermits of lowly mien, yet able to consume us to ashes with the fire of their tapas. arms and weapons they reck not. Loyal servants of Dharma, they ever find a mighty protector in their master. Sons of Dasharatha, born to cheer him in the winter of his life, when the snows of 60,000 years lay heavy upon his head. The mighty king whose war chariot held unimpeded course in all quarters, above and below. He who ever turned the scale of battle in favor of his friends, the Devas. Surely he and his countless hosts are behind these princes. Brothers they are, they fight with equal bravery and skill in the forefront of battles. The eldest is known as Rama, and rightly so, for to him who charms all created beings with his manifold perfections, there is no foe possible. Defeat and hunger can never be associated with Lakshmana, whose name rightly indicates the possession of everything good and great. Fair as the kings of the Gandharvas, was it not one of them, Nalakubera, that launched a terrible curse upon our brother Ravana? Endowed with every mark of royalty, they are eminently fitted to rule over their boundless empires, and would they meet their death at your hands? Maybe they are the Devas defeated of yore by Ravana. But who now turn upon him, backed by some powerful person for which they lay expectant so long? Maybe they are those very mortals whom Ravana forgot to include in his boons from Brahma, all out of contempt, but who now come upon him in this guise of instruments of his approaching doom. Between them sits a lovely being in the flower or in bloom of her youth, whom every charm and perfection vie in crowning. It is on her account that they treated me so, as if I were some miserable outcast, some wicked animal. I have set my heart upon quaffing their foaming blood on the battlefield, and I lay it upon you as a prime duty to fulfill my heart's wishes. Thereat, Kara was beside himself with wrath, and turning to the generals of his 14,000 veterans, terrible as the Lord of Death, thundered forth. Two men in warlike array, but in the garb of hermits, are reported to have entered a frightful Dandaka forest, and with a woman with them. Bring her unto me and the bodies of the men. My sister would drink their heart's blood. Go forth and tarry not. And with the speed of thought, those 14 captains of the host and Shubnaka with them bore down upon Rama and his party like a hurricane. Rama advanced to meet them, but they could not approach that radiant one and held aloof, even as wild elephants avoid a forest conflagration. Mangalam Koshlendraya Mahaniya Gunapte Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.